You are listening to Holistic Tarot Agency. I'm Nyx.
I'm Thea.
And I'm Holly.
And we reveal so you can heal.
Yay!
Welcome to our first episode.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Yes.
Yay. This is very exciting.
The time has come.
Oh, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yes, and we have. To
get it done for a long time.
So although, just as real. A side note, I was looking through my year ahead tarot reading that I did for myself back in January, and it has completely aligned with every hurdle that we've experienced over the last 3 months.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
All for of this, real? So the next month for July, I got the Magician, and so this is going to be the month where shit happens.
Yes. Oh,
but everything leading up to this was a little bit more like... Like, we're trying. It's the real mental health. We're working on it.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. Well, and the Magician has appeared so often through all of our readings for this podcast. So
yeah.
I really love it when it appears in association with this. So.
Yeah.
Yay.
New adventures. It's so
making
exciting.
It happen. It's I keep so getting the damn Page of Swords. Page of Swords. You're gonna do something new. It's business. You're in it. I'm like, oh my god. Okay, I'm trying.
We're working on it. If Holly could get her freaking mic to work, we'd be doing this a lot easier.
Oh my god.
But anyway, so one of the reasons that we started this podcast is because we all really love podcasts. We listen to a lot of them.
All day, every day.
Constantly. And we actually met through another podcast, and we found ourselves going to each other for a lot of tarot related questions. We would just kind of be doing our own thing, and then we'd message each other and say hey, what's your interpretation of this? And we even did it today a couple of times. This has just kind of become a huge part
day.
Of our lives. Yeah.
It's almost every day.
Every day.
Exactly. So it's just a huge part of our lives. And we thought, a lot of people right now are getting into tarot, which is amazing. I mean, we'll all probably go through our stories a little bit later in another segment. But people are getting really into tarot. And a lot of the times it's kind of like, where do I even start here? How do I bounce these ideas off of other people? How do I know if I'm doing this right? And so our goal is to kind of be those friends that you can go to for these questions, or you can listen to us in our thought process of how we help each other out through these same questions. Because even though we can talk so much about it being a tarot community, you have to really be interacting with each other for that community to take place.
Right, exactly. Right. And we want to have some fun here too. So this isn't necessarily a class podcast, although we welcome all types of learning and intuition sharing back and forth. But we want to have some fun, and we want to get to know everyone who listens to our podcast. And we want to, Holly said, create a real diverse community of wonderful tarot lovers.
Yes.
Yeah. And for me, when I would search for podcasts, a lot of them were class podcasts, where the format was more of a class, and or interview podcasts where they would just interview people in the tarot community, which is amazing because you get to know these individuals. But I kind of want to get to know other tarot readers in general.
Yeah.
For me, it's getting to know the people who are doing it, the people who want to learn more but are kind of scared of doing a one card per episode sort of deep dive. It's, for me, that's intimidating. And so I want to make sure that anything I'm involved in is exciting and fun and down to earth, and making sure that we reach everyone and kind of just have a talk show, just kind of chat together about tarot and how it's been meaningful to us in our journey. So
yeah, and it really has. I feel confident in speaking on the behalf of you guys too. It has totally transformed. I guess you can decide if you're comfortable with that after I say what I'm going to say.
Fine.
But I would say that for all three of us, it's really transformed the way that we interact with the world around us and the way we interact with our loved ones and our coworkers, because we're able to sort of dig into why we're feeling certain ways. And so that's one of the reasons that the theme of the podcast is kind of detective-y, because it's not just about finding spiritual growth, although that is a huge part of it for a lot of people, but it's also about finding personal growth just in the mundane day-to-day baloney that all of us have to deal with. We can get to the base of issues so that you can grow through that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and giving you because sometimes tarot can be intimidating, where you think you have to predict the future and things like that. And like all of a sudden you have this mindset of like, oh my gosh, this is my set future and my set steps forward. But for the three of us, we found that we enjoyed giving people steps forward in their own lives so they don't feel that they are stuck or that they don't have a way forward. So for that's where holistic tarot for me has been so kind of rounding, where it's not like you're just kind of stuck in this kind of prediction that's been made. You have a way to move forward and a way to have a choice in the matter.
Okay, so you don't always need master guidance. Maybe you just need a little push for your day. And so, you know, tarot doesn't really always have to be this like super serious encompassing blanket of information. It can be really overwhelming for new readers, I think, because they feel that. And so it can be just like, I need a couple of cards to tell me like, what's the attitude I can carry with me for the day, you know? And we really want to help you feel less intimidated by tarot and let's really have a good time with
it.
Oh,
yeah.
At least that's what I'm here for. No, I know you guys are too. I think the most I've learned is by having other people who I could talk to, bounce off of, listen to, who are looking at the same cards that I'm looking at, and they're seeing it in, you know, their own interpretation. And I'm very open to that, and we hope that all of our listeners will also offer their information to us, because we would really like to interact with you and learn from you.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so segment two is the card of the day. Did anyone bring a deck with them?
I have like four stuffed in my. What do you want? I have like 11 decks.
Oh, you got.
Perfect. Okay. Next, do you want to choose our card of the day?
I will. Oh, one like literally just flew out at me. It's the Love of Lovers.
Ooh.
That's prediction for later. That's not about us. That's later.
But actually, that brings up such a good point, because when the lover shows up, a lot of us really do feel like it has to be about romantic love.
Right.
But the beauty of the Lover's card is that it's also about values aligning. And so this is finally when we're getting the chance as the three of us to like show our shared values and express them outwardly. And that's a huge component of that lover's mentality, even though, I mean, obviously when you see it, it's like pretty obvious. You're like, oh yeah, oh, somebody's getting some, which we already know you are, Nick. You don't need to show off.
Don't tell my secrets, girls. And I think also the lovers always gets attached with romantic love, like you were saying, and it is often friend love, and we're a coven of sisters and we love each other. And so I think that's a perfect and beautiful card for us.
All right. So our next segment is where we give tarot advice. And what we mean by giving tarot advice is both advice about tarot, like for new people or for people who just need a little bit of a pick-me-up about their tarot practice, or advice that tarot can help you resolve. So you're welcome to email us at holistictarotagency@gmail.com with whatever tarot questions you have, whether they're just about tarot or a question about your life that tarot could help you with. But the first one is from our friend Holly, not me, a different Holly. I'm pretty sure it's not me. I think I'd remember it. So our first question is from our friend Holly.
I don't know.
And she asks, I know, there are days, aren't there? So she asks, I would love to hear how you got into tarot readings and what was the deck style that you started with?
Ooh, can I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right,
yeah, go ahead
so
for it.
This is Nyx. So my first deck was Rider-Waite-Smith. Yes, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. And
I still
have it. I actually have it right here next to me. Because I didn't really know anything about tarot when I got into it. I just sort of jumped right into it and it exploded for me, and it was a really great experience. It was like I couldn't get enough of it, and I've just been eating, sleeping, breathing tarot ever since. And I went to Barnes and Nobles and got my deck, and I've just been in love ever since. Yeah. Does that answer the question?
I love it because, well, so you didn't answer how you got into it, but I do love it because right off the bat, you break that initial fear that people have about that old wives' tale that somebody has to give them their first deck.
No, fuck that. Fuck all that. No. It's 2018. Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Treat yourself. Don't wait for someone to gift you a gift. Give yourself a gift.
Yeah. Especially because there are so many beautiful decks now. If you're waiting around for somebody to like read your mind and give you the deck you want, then you're doing it wrong.
Right. I mean, if someone does give you a gift, a deck, that's an amazing gift. But don't wait around.
No. Just do it.
Do it. Go out.
Because I was even reading somewhere that one girl waited like a year. This is like recently.
Oh my
I was like,
God.
Why did you wait for so long? Like, I mean, we have feminism. We can vote now. can you just not buy yourself a deck, sweetie? Like,
yeah. Like $15. Go get a deck.
Or just pay like a stranger at Barnes & Noble. Can you buy this? I need money. Can you buy this? And then like pretend you're giving it to me like as a gift. Like, I just don't understand
exactly.
It. Understand it at all. Or like what? Now it's like, what? GoFundMe. GoFundMe a tarot deck. Like,
what's a better gift than self-care, right?
Exactly.
What's a better gift than a new interest or a new hobby or exploring what might be your next new passion? What's
Seriously.
A better gift? So buying yourself a tarot deck. I keep wanting to call it a tarot gift. A tarot deck.
It is
the gift of tarot. It's wonderful. Don't wait around for some. And I just want to say that person who waited a year is the most patient person that has ever existed.
I think she was really scared. I think someone had scared her. To like the point of her not wanting to act and being so afraid of the, you know, tarot, kind of like respectful of tarot, which is really good that she's respectful of it, but also at the same time it's kind of like, this is too much. This is like fear mongering.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I have read before of a group of friends who like each bought each other a deck so that all of them would be giving their first deck to somebody else. And I like that, but when I was first getting into tarot, like for myself rather than watching other people do it, there's no way that I would have immediately felt comfortable with asking somebody to do that for me.
Because
it was like full-blown solitariness for my initial tarot exploration, which I'm very happy with because it really let me find my own voice really easily. But I can't imagine trying to like wait, you know, find some friend that isn't going to call you a crazy person and, you know, ask them to do you this favor when it's just something that you should feel comfortable with doing on your own, because there are so many resources now that you don't have to rely on other people.
Exactly. Right. I thought I was fully going to be judged by everyone. And so I didn't tell anyone when I started reading tarot. I just did it, you know? And now I have a tarot page where I sell private readings, and people are so supportive of it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any shit from anyone for it. People, when I see people I haven't seen in a little bit, they're like, oh my God, I saw your page. That's so interesting. I never knew you read tarot. That's amazing. And I'm like, yeah, let's do a reading, you know?
Yeah.
And they're so into it. It's great.
Give me $20.
I know. I will take your money right now. Thank you. Please buy me a deck.
Yeah, seriously.
That's where that money goes anyway.
I know. And let's be real. When I first started my Etsy shop, I like immediately had a bunch of really awesome orders and I was so excited to get the ball rolling. But like, seriously, the day that I would get an order, I'd be like, all right, what deck is next?
Yep.
What can I do with this? Like, it was full blown, just like irresponsible. I mean, is it really irresponsible if it brings you joy? Maybe a little bit less.
It's going back into your business.
Exactly. There you go. That's the right mindset.
I keep running to my boyfriend, like, this is an investment for the future. Literally an investment for the future.
Well, that's how that's the roundabout way that I got into tarot. There really was no jumping point. There wasn't something that happened that, like, led to it. I just had this sort of awakening that it was something that I wanted to, you know, I'd always been a sort of psychic. I'd always been sort of a medium, and I'd never really explored it. And I felt like tarot was a really safe way to explore it. You have the cards right in front of you. You're not actually depending on anyone else. You're just depending on yourself. So
yeah,
I felt like
that's a really interesting distinction.
Really safe interaction. I wasn't under the control or power of any type of other being. I was in charge. So
yeah, because you could always just put the deck away if something gets to be too much.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting.
All right. I like that. Who's next?
I guess I'll go next. Because I guess it's my turn to talk. So
you're always gonna have to get your turn from kicking and screaming. Just say it, just for your own knowledge.
I just feel like I'm like the Greek chorus in the background, like laughing and applauding and going, "Yay, everyone!" I just love being here for the experience.
That's fine too. Whatever you need.
Oh, so I got into tarot kind of accidentally. I mean, like more of like stumbled into it. So my pet background is I grew up very conservative Christian. And then within the past like 2 years, I've transitioned to being an atheist and finding myself in that aspect, like not attached to my religious identity and then coming into my own sort of person. And then in the mutual Facebook group that we're all in for this other podcast, someone posted a video link to the R Tarot deck,
yes,
which is like a very feminist deck. Like they have Mary Shelley as the moon, who of course wrote Frankenstein, and Harriet Tubman as a chariot. Like it's really like a beautiful deck. And I just love that the feminist iconography. I don't know what that
Yeah,
word
sure.
Is.
That, yeah. That's a word.
It's spelled like that. I know that much.
Oh wait, it's iconography.
Thank you. I've been out of America too long to remember like more than three syllables.
It's a long word.
I don't think I'll ever say that right, and I live in America, so don't yeah, even worry seriously. About it.
Okay, thank you for making me feel better about my English. So I just love like the graphic images, and it was really beautiful deck, but it was like sold out.
So beautiful.
Even, like, it.
They're just shipping it now. They're just
yeah,
shipping
I think
it now,
just
and
came
it
out.
Is
yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so pretty though.
I know, and it's but I think it's a square edition, maybe. So it kind of like weirds
me out. Ooh, interesting. So, I don't have any decks like that.
Yeah, I know. I feel like square editions are like coasters that you get like
yes.
at Longhorn or something.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Like, I'm taking a stack of these with me.
These are now tarot cards. I have gifted them to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just made a comment like, oh, this is really like pretty tarot deck. I don't really like even know what kind of tarot is other than like watching like a Little House on the Prairie episode where I think like one of the random like people that came into the story like for one episode just had like
of
tarot
course.
Cards or something.
One of the devil worshippers.
Because that's kind of like anything like divination was very like seen as like devil, demon, like very much that
yeah.
sort of vein of stuff. And so, like, Holly all of a sudden comments, she's like, oh, you should totally get into tarot. And I was like, well, I'm an atheist now, and this is interesting. Like, it was just, like, a little interesting something. So I was like, okay. So I went ahead and purchased the Rite-Waiter-Smith. I'm just going to say RWS because it's yeah. just easier because I can type it out, but saying it is just really
right.
weird.
The robust.
That's what happens when you're losing English. Like all of a sudden, any sort of English word becomes really like you become skeptical
like,
of everything.
What is it?
They don't lose English. We need you. This is only the first episode.
I know. Exactly.
I'm like, I know this word in Korean. I don't know it in English anymore. So.
Well, especially if you're never coming back to the United States. I mean, not never, but you're going to live in Korea from now on. Like, we need
it's
you
gonna,
still.
Like, right. That's why I listen to podcasts, is to keep my English. So I buy a RWS deck, the Centennial Edition, which is really beautiful, and I loved it, and it came in like a tin, so I thought it would be really like a good thing to like carry around if I wanted to kind of practice at work or other things. And I discovered that for me, reading, because I'm an emotional person, a deeply emotional person, reading for myself became precarious. Like, doing any sort of relationship readings became like all of a sudden I'm getting like death and tower and swords everywhere, and of course like
so
I automatically
much drama.
Panic. Yeah,
so
I,
much
it's
so, drama.
It was so much drama
cards.
For like 2 weeks. It was this drama. Like every time I try to read for myself, like it's just picking up my own anxieties and stuff. So I just decided to like put that deck away because obviously I wasn't like in the mood for that.
Yeah. And,
because like
that
sometimes
happens.
You just have to put it away, and if it just keeps giving me swords, what's the use of like being encouraged by it. It wasn't being holistically like healing for me. It was being more of a panic attack. Like the nine of swords every single time, like very much panic attacky.
I'm so amazed that you stuck with it.
I know, me too.
If I had only gotten swords at the beginning, I would have been like, thanks, but no thanks.
I know, right?
Well, it was one of those things where I had to discover that about myself because I've realized that I'm highly empathetic, but I didn't realize that I could pick up the energies of other people and that kind of also go into my reading. So that was something I had to learn early on, was that I pick up these energies and it translates to myself. So, I mean, so now I don't do any relationship readings about myself at all. Like, I just do like basic daily or weekly sorts of things, and maybe once in a while do like a deep dive. But my reading, I'm just so easily impressed by the emotions of what I'm going through personally and what others are going through, that I can't, I've forbidden myself from doing relationship readings, because it just causes just too much drama in my life. So then I picked up the Wild Unknown deck, and my friends loved me reading for them from that deck. But for me personally, I couldn't connect with it because the imagery was not what I had been learning for those first 3 weeks. It wasn't what I was familiar with. So, and it's a gorgeous deck. I just couldn't connect with it on like a deeper level. So I went ahead and picked up the Universal Tarot, which is like bigger cards, of course, and like it's more bright and you can see faces and things. So for me, that was my learning deck, what I learned from like the most, and what images come to my mind whenever I like picture a card. Like when someone says, oh, you know, the Ten of Cups, and I automatically picture that RWS deck in my mind. So that was my kind of first experience with tarot and getting to know myself through that, and kind of ushering into this new age of reading for other people and the podcast. So
wasn't that first deck you got like super teeny weeny too?
Yes, it was really tiny. So like I've used it, like here's my like little my little tarot journal. And so I've like taped them inside.
Oh.
So like I can journal with them and have like the pictures there. So it's like a little journal. But yeah, I have like a full page like writings of notes that I've taken or questions to ask whenever they come up. So I mean, I've put it to use. It's not like I've like tossed it away or given it to some, you know, I wasn't allowed to give it to anyone, but it was one of the things kind of like, I could repurpose this deck because it is kind of small and I'm not harming the cards and it's still doing me good. So
that's a really good idea. I carry that deck around in my purse all the time, and like even if I have a clutch, it's so small that I can just slip it into a clutch with me. And so I have done a lot of really great readings with it, but I like the traditional size. Like I just feel like I get more out of it when it's a traditional tarot deck size, even though I do have several decks that are smaller, like the Mesquite Tarot, which is a really great indie deck. It's pretty small and I love those too, but I just think that there's something so much more like satisfying about a full size deck. So it's good that you found another way to use the smaller one.
Yeah, I agree.
I had never seen the Centennial, or I've probably seen it on a shelf but didn't pay attention to it, but that's the Centennial deck that's in the little tin. But then on Instagram the other day, someone was holding a little Rider-Waite-Smith tarot card that was like not much bigger than their thumb, like maybe 2 inches.
Yeah, there's like a super mini version.
Oh, like the dollhouse size. Yeah.
I want everything tiny. I have an obsession with small things. I want
it. Well, you're a small person. You're a little really shorty.
I am very short.
When you told me how tall you were, I was like, how can she be that small?
I am 5'1", very short. And my husband is 6'5".
And your 5-year-old is going to outgrow you in like a year and a half.
Yeah, next week or so.
That is so funny. Well, I think that you actually brought up a really good point, Thea, with about giving decks away when you're kind of done with them, because that's something that I really struggle with. I've been reading for myself for a little over 2 years. I've been interested in tarot since like the dawn of time. But I'm constantly
past life, she was very interested in tarot.
I would totally believe that. I'm a little bit scared of past life exploration, but I am so curious about it because I just have always been one of those people who like really imagines that sort of thing. And so it's always so hard to tell when you're touching base with your spirituality, if that's like imagination / like just projected information, or if it's something that you're recalling.
Right.
So I have a little bit of anxiety about like wanting to do that, but being too scared, but neither here nor there. I'm always giving decks away to people because I'm a Taurus sun and I like to buy things that are pretty, but then if I don't connect with it right away, I'm constantly like, hey, do you want this? Hey, do you want this? The minute that one of my friends in real life is like, I'm sort of interested in tarot, I'm like, do I have the deck for you? And I just give it to them. It's like a constant struggle for me. But so I've been reading for myself for probably about 2 years. But when I first got into the idea of using cards for self-development, I was actually a high schooler and I went to a Catholic high school, and there was a nun who had a ceramic bowl full of these angel cards that they weren't like Doreen Virtue. They're not like very like humanistic angel cards. They were these little like three quarter inch.
One second. I just want to let you listeners know, this is the best story ever. This is my favorite story ever.
I've been looking forward to all week.
Seriously, I love like, this story. Night, this like, is the best story. I love it.
And I'm retelling it, by the way, because we recorded a whole first episode of this last week and it was unsalvageable. So this is the second time that they're
hearing
the story.
We secretly did this on purpose just so we could hear this story again.
Exactly.
It is the best story. I love this story. Okay,
everyone
because
everyone wishes they had a Sister Christine in their life. I'm telling you. So I was a high school student. Sister Christine had this ceramic dish in her office, which was along like a main thoroughfare. So I had to walk past her office probably like 6 or 7 times a day. And it was the ceramic dish filled with these little like 3/4 inch by 2 inch angel cards that had like a little line drawing of an angel. And then a card with a theme to focus on. So it would be something like beauty or joy or laughter or whatever. And every single time I'd pull cards, it would be silence, serenity, like calmness. And I seriously thought that she was stacking the deck against me. Like, I thought that this nun was spending hours of her day redistributing the like calm cards to the top of her deck so that when I personally came through and shuffled through them, I would be like forced to confront
She's
this
like,
issue
here
that I was
comes
never
this
calm.
Asshole Holly again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Holly can't keep it together, so I better give her all of the serenity card so she can fucking relax. And so I totally thought that she was just basically totally messing with me the whole time. I was like, oh, Sister Claire or Sister Christine, like such a jokester, always pranking me. And so then when I graduated from high school and went to college, she sent me some of these angel cards. I actually still have them. I keep them in my car because they're really mm-hmm. small. They're in the little jar that I just put in my center console, and I still will pull them every once in a while. I don't know what it is about this deck. I feel like maybe because it was given to me by a nun, it's still reminding me to like take a step back and be relaxed and calm and
you're
like
still
chill.
That 15-year-old in the hallway.
Yeah, like to this deck, I'm still just like walking down a hallway wearing my kilt and knee socks, like screaming at the top of my lungs.
Oh my god, I love it so much. It's my favorite story.
It's so ridiculous.
For like the whole week, I was wondering if you still had the cards or not, or if you had given them away. So.
No, that's one that I will never give away. And actually, after I graduated from college, I actually worked at that school with Sister Christine. I was the activities director, and she had 3 decks in her bowl. So like there was a higher chance than with a normal deck that I would get all these serenity cards. But no, it was just like truly that was the message that I was supposed to be receiving as a high schooler, because I was a little bit wild, not in like a bad girl way. Like I was such a rule follower, but I was always the loudest one, which is you know why a podcast is something I'm you know attracted to. But it was just like a nonstop thing. And so then when I went to college, I had this deck and I like kept it around. I would pull cards for people all the time. Since then, I've actually bought my sister one of the decks, and so she's gotten kind of the chance to utilize it. And apparently, the booklet that it comes with has spreads. It has daily devotion things.
Wow.
Like it is full-blown marketed as sort of like a like almost like a Christian sort of oracle situation.
Oh, wow.
But that never occurred to me at the time. I just thought like, oh, this is kind of a cool thing. But then when I went to college, I lived with a girl who was super into tarot. And she and I were both Greek. Like my dad's family is from Greece and her mom's family was from Greece. And so to me, it felt like kind of a cultural thing. The Greeks are really into divination in general, like tea reading and all of those things. But she would always do these readings that were like the most dramatic, worst case scenario readings on the planet. Like every single reading she'd do would have the tower. It would have death. It would like be like,
gosh.
I swear to God, at one point she did a reading for me that was like, you've already met your twin flame and you'll never be together. Like that kind of level.
You're so like, I'm 19. Yeah. My life is over. Mary now.
With Sister Christine.
Yeah, Sister Christine will
angel
accept
cards for life.
Yeah, seriously. And so I was interested in it, but I was also like, this is intimidating. Like, how do you get involved with this? And then I think the thing that actually finally got me into it was that, like, for my own personal care, because I was interested in it, but I was still a little bit skeptical because all the readings I'd had done for me had been so doom and gloom and, like, dramatic. And so when I don't even really remember what happened, but I feel like it was, oh yeah. Okay. So I have a younger sister, her best friend was nannying for a woman. This is, like, so long and convoluted, who was a tarot reader and also had, Nyx, I think that you'll be super into this. She had, what is a terrarium with a bunch of snakes, and in the terrarium, she had all these huge crystals, like big giant rose quartzes and big giant amethysts. And then on the front of the terrarium, there was a tarot card that I think her snakes were named after or something.
That's
and so,
so cool. Yeah, I have five snakes, just so people aren't like, what is she talking about?
No, Nyx actually is a snake.
I am a snake.
But so I think that my sister's friend was telling me about this woman, and I was like, whoa, like, that sounds really cool. And she seems like a really awesome lady. And if tarot works for her, like, what would this even look like for me? So I started Googling, and I found like a whole bunch of blogs and resources. And then my parents were moving out of my childhood home, and in a bathroom drawer, my sister found the Hermetic Tarot, which I don't know if you've seen, but it's all black and white. It's like Golden Dawn.
It's terrible.
It's super intense. Like, so hard to read. Yeah, this was so probably hard. Like 2.5 years ago. I still have it, and I'll look at it. Like, I can't give it to anyone because it's so complicated and esoteric that I'm not going to, like, unleash
beautiful.
That on someone.
Right. It's beautiful,
it's
okay, but it's very advanced.
It's not
advanced.
Like you introduce, like, oh, you want to learn tarot? Here's the Hermetic Tarot.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so after my sister sent that to me, when I sent her the angel cards, like her version of the angel cards that that Sister Christine had given me, we kind of swapped them. And when I started looking through those, I was like, okay, well, these aren't going to work. And so that's what prompted me to go find my first tarot deck that I had purchased for myself. And it was the Radiant Writer Waite Smith. And it comes with a really awesome guidebook. And I still recommend that to people as their first deck because the Radiant's a little bit more vibrant. The guidebook is incredible. And I just started doing all of these readings for myself. And I realized I was in a really, really frustrating work situation. And I realized that every single day that I was doing tarot readings for myself, I was able to get through that day, like, in a much happier and healthier and stable way because I had done some meditation that morning. I thought about my tarot cards, and it just completely transformed, like, how I saw myself and how I saw the world around me because I was actually reflecting on things in a real tangible way for, like, the first time in my life.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So as far as what type of deck got me into it, I would probably say that Rider-Waite-Smith was like the number one thing. But you guys know, I still have an affinity for Oracle cards that's like incredibly high. Like, I love a good Oracle deck, and I don't tend to draw myself towards angels at all. But the Angel Tarot deck or the Angel Oracle deck that I got when I was 18 still is really meaningful, even though it's always telling me to shut the hell up.
Well, somebody has to.
I know. No one else will.
At least you know what to expect from it. Like,
right. It never lets you down.
No, exactly. Exactly.
I only have one Oracle deck.
I only got my first Oracle last week. Was the Halloween Oracle. But I do have, like, the Black and Moon Oracle deck coming because all of a sudden she did, like, this Instagram sale of, like, the
damaged boxes.
And I was like, because the shipping coming from, like, Canada to Korea was already going to be, like, $25. And when it was, like, the discount,
Jesus.
Like, when it was discounted, I was like, I can do this, like, and it be affordable, not, like, $80 to come to me. So I bought it. So it should be a please come soon. So, yeah, that's my second Oracle deck. So
Thea, I actually bought two of those on the sale because I'm going to give one to my sister and one to my sister-in-law because they're obsessed with them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm glad that we all sold her out of the deck.
What Oracle? what deck was that? I feel like I need to buy it now.
it's gorgeous.
It's the Compendium of Constellations. I use it on my Instagram
all the
time.
Yeah, yeah. I know
it's
what
so
one you're
beautiful.
Talking about. Yeah.
And I've been looking at it for a while, and like,
it's just
that
a,
one,
it's...
and then like the other one from Darling Tree that you've used before.
Yeah. Because I really like the Oracle.
Yeah, I've used that, looked at both of those because I really love the vibrant colors because like colors speak to me and make me happy. And so, yeah. So I was, so yeah, but yeah, I have the Halloween Oracle here and then that one's coming in for me. So yeah.
Yeah. Is the inner, would the inner star be cheaper because it's coming from Australia?
It's a little cheaper. I think shipping was like $14. And but she had like a Taurus moon sale that happened like for 2 days and I missed it. So I'm going to wait until she has like a different moon sale.
She does. She's like a really big environmentalist. So a lot of the time she'll have sales that where like if you buy a deck,
it'll go to like grow a tree and things like that. Yeah.
That's her favorite. Yeah. She's awesome. Nice.
You guys know about all the cool indie decks of everything. I'm like, I went to Amazon today and I got this really cool deck and you guys are like, I've seen that 100 times. I'm like, oh, okay.
No, for me, customs hates Amazon. Like anytime my mom sent me something from Amazon or something's come from Amazon, like it's in customs for like no less than 2 weeks and they like I have to give them passport numbers and like, and I just don't mess with Amazon anymore because it's just too much of a hassle.
That's such a hassle.
So, what otherwise I'd buy everything from Amazon. Yeah, seriously.
So I was never
okay.
you guys way got me into Oracle decks because I had mine forever, but I never used it because I always put like I'm an atheist and I'm like pretty anti-religion. That's like a whole other non-podcast thing, but I always I always put together for some reason, like angels, Christianity with Oracle cards. So yeah. I had some. I got the Universe Has Your Back ones, which are like, I mean, they mention faith a few times, but they're not like overly religious-y.
Like
preachy? Yeah. Yeah. So I got them and then I just kind of set them aside. But since I've known you guys and Holly, especially you, because you're really into Oracle decks, I did an Oracle spread with our podcast spread that you came up with, Holly, and so yeah, I'm like getting way more into my Oracle decks now. I'm actually looking at one card right now that says Joy is the ultimate creator.
Aww.
I love them. I call them pep talk cards.
Yes, they totally are. Especially that deck. The Universe Has Your Back is one of those decks. I don't own it, but it's actually when my sister-in-law last came to visit, I'm giving her one of the Compendium of Constellations. When my sister-in-law last came to visit, she was really interested in the tarot reading stuff. So obviously I'm like, let me give you something. And she's like, they live in the South. And she's like, I'm not really ready for that. And then when she got home, she texted me like 3 days later and she just bought that deck on Amazon because it appealed to her and it's so positive and she felt like she could connect it to her Christianity.
Right.
And it wasn't like, you know, confrontational the way that like, you know, if you pull the devil card in a tarot reading would feel to her.
Right.
So
right.
I do think that something like that is a really good like entry into tarot reading if like it's something that makes you nervous.
Entry. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And I used mine to do an actual, I'd used it with a tarot spread and I got amazing advice that I actually was having a really hard time with otherwise. I had done, you guys remember I had tried to do this spread with tarot cards and I was for some reason having a really, I was having a really hard time connecting to it. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to use Oracle cards and just, you know, go with the flow. And it was amazing. So yeah, it's a great little deck. It's
That's
actually
so awesome.
A great big deck because it's huge and they are like coasters. It's giant.
Yeah. Well, and the Compendium of Constellations, this is going to be something we talk about later, but I've actually had a really funny relationship with it because it is not kind. It is straightforward, and it's actually something that I've talked with the creator about because I had this one reading where every single card I pulled was so doom and gloom and awful, and then I smoke cleansed it, I like meditated over the cards, and then I did the same exact set of pulls, and every card was like the nicer way to phrase the mean thing it had previously told me. And so this was all like in my Instagram stories, and I tagged her in all of them, and she's like, that is so crazy that it was such a huge difference because I've been in a really bad place today.
Oh.
And it like almost felt like the creator's energy was impacted, which I've never experienced before, but I'm so connected to that deck. And so I feel a lot of like kinship with her because she made this piece of art that's so meaningful to me. We had like been in this weird place together where I was like, what? Wow. We're both like having this weird experience together. And then seriously cleansing it and redoing it. It was like, I think for one of them, it was like, I want to come up with a good example, but it was seriously something that it was like, harsh or something. Like the literal word was harsh. And then I did it again and the card came up as judgment. So it's like, okay, those are two. Like, judgment's a lot nicer than harsh, isn't it?
If I pull one more time, will you say something nice to me?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I need to put some, like, crystals on you to make you feel really good?
I know. I'm like, how do I make you be on my side more? But it also means that it's super effective for a self-reflection tool because it does not feel like a fluffy deck.
Right. Yeah. I appreciate straightforwardness. I don't appreciate drama.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, because sometimes, like yesterday for a pull, I did for like a big spread, I pulled the Wheel of Fortune for like what to release and let go, and that was like very nuanced interpretation because I'm expecting like what to release, let go, like release some stuff from my past,
frustration, yeah.
Anger, and all of a sudden I pulled the Wheel of Fortune. I'm like,
what? Release everything. Release your life.
So it's like, okay, this needs a more nuanced interpretation than just like release luck, release karma.
Well, and that's actually such a good example because since you're in Korea and we're both in California, that means that Nix and I woke up to this message of you being like, I got this reading.
Right.
What is your guys' interpretation? And that's kind of like symbolic or I guess representational of what our goal is with our relationships with each other and with our relationship with this podcast is so that there's ways to like kind of have a resource for like those sorts of like in this context, what do you think this means?
Right. It's like instead of becoming saying like, hey, can you all interpret what I'm doing? I'm being like, this is how I am seeing it, but I feel like there's something I'm missing. What can you help me fit the pieces together? It's kind of like any detective, like, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, this is like what I'm seeing from what's my spreads doing, what stuff is doing. How can you help me fit the pieces together to solve this puzzle of my tarot spread?
So yeah.
I think this our like little concept is really like nice and like
that's what our goal is. And actually it just occurred to me literally right now that we're all huge true crime fans and our podcast is themed around being a detective.
I never thought of that.
That's hilarious.
That's really funny.
I feel like we should also talk about how we met, because this is Nix's fault that we all met.
Yes, it's true.
We're not going to talk about that.
She's the best influence ever.
I'm the worst influence ever. I will get anyone in trouble. I'm throwing everyone under the bus.
So Nix made the huge mistake of asking a group, what was it, like 15,000 people at that time?
Yeah, it's like it was like 15,000 people, at least 10,000, but I think they're almost at 20, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, continue. It's a huge group of people, and I asked if anyone would like a tarot reading.
And she didn't put a limit on this? She didn't put a time limit.
I did not think about this. I just jumped. I am the wands. I jump right in. I am the queen of wands. I like to hold my feet to the fire, and I just jump into things. I don't think about them. And so that's what I did. I just jumped right in. And I honestly did not think anyone would be interested. And it was my phone blew the fuck up. It was insane. And pretty soon I had 300 people. And so you two were nice enough to jump in and say, hey, we can help you.
I noticed that it could be a huge problem when you have like 30 responses in the first minute and a half.
Yes, yes.
And so I messaged Nix and I was like, hey, if you need a hand, I am available. And you're like, yes, please.
Yes, please. 100% now. When are you available? Please forever help
and
me.
And then, of course, because I'm on Korea time, I woke up the next morning. Which is like later that evening in America. And I saw like at that point, I think there was like 50 comments or 50 something comments. And I was like, okay. So I've only been reading tarot for like 4 months at this point. But at that point, I'd only been reading for like 2 months. But I'm like, well, you know what? I'm not going to learn unless I try. And I can't read to myself. I can't read my own readings. Like, and I don't have many like friends and contacts here. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use this as a learning opportunity. So we ended up doing at least 100, if not a little fewer more. So
I don't even remember how many we did, but I turned off comments at 300.
Yeah.
So 300 people wanted readings, and we did the best that we could. I mean, my attitude towards the whole thing was like, we'll do it till it's not fun. It's free to people. It's just for fun. So let's just, you know, let's have fun with it and do it till it's not fun. And we, so then from there, we were all this little private Facebook group, the three of us, like a private message group through Facebook. And we, our friendship blossomed from there. And you guys are my sisters now.
Aww.
The deck we're excited to use next week.
What do we want?
What?
I got lots.
Oh, I see.
Holly's got lots.
I know. I have a lot, but I'm still just so excited about the Everyday Witch Tarot. I just can't get enough of this deck.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, and Nyx posted something about it earlier today. She she messaged us first about it. And it's a spread that I'm very familiar with. I wrote it as kind of a pep talk spread. And seeing it with these cards totally made me love that spread even more than I already did. Because this deck, the Everyday Witch deck, is so dynamic. It's so fun. And they just feel like real women that you would know interacting with this like sort of motif of, you know, like going through the fool's journey and everything.
And I love how like beginner friendly it is, because it's, there's like tons of visual throwbacks to the original RWS deck style, but at the same time there's like, I love Temperance and the Hierophant are my favorites.
Oh, yes.
Temperance I love because there's the balance of like the cookies and the kale juice and the computer and the old style books. I love Temperance because of that. But also, like, and finding that fine balance. But also, I love the Hierophant because coming from a very conservative Christian background where you felt kind of lorded over by any sort of, like preacher or priest figure, it was always jarring for me to come across the Hierophant. And I would always freeze in a reading being like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to go back. It was a little triggering kind of trying to throw back to, like, my spiritual abuse background. And so, but in the Everyday Witch Tarot, it's like a yoga class, and the Hierophant is the yoga instructor. So it really like calmed that part of me down. It was like, oh, that's a really great way to like revision the card. It's not just a pastoral figure or priestly figure or religious figure.
It's not just a man.
Yeah, it's not just a man. It's someone who's wanting to give you guidance and someone that you can look to. I just loved that. So
I love it. It has cats on it, y'all. Yeah, I just love cats. Every card has cats on it, not just one cat, but like multiple cats. And I just love cats. It's a very honest and also a very friendly deck. It really is a deck that is like a friend. It's like the Golden Girls of tarot decks. You know,
Three of Cups is like, so those are the cards that I'm always checking for, because I have a similar reaction to the Hierophant that Thea does, where I just like, if it's too churchy, it makes me feel so uncomfortable. So I always check that. I always like to check the Sun. And then I always like to check the Three of Cups, because the goal, right, is to create this like community that you get to be a part of where everyone's getting along in this way. And so I always want to make sure the Three of Cups is something that I feel connected with also. And this deck has all of that.
Yeah,
it does. It has everything. And it's an amazing, like what Thea was saying, it's an amazing beginner deck because there isn't any imagery on any of the cards that is superfluous. It's all useful imagery. You can literally look at these cards. I mean, that would be my best advice to any beginning tarot reader too, is like, get a deck that has useful information on the imagery, because the whole idea behind tarot when it first started was to look at the picture on the card and get the meaning. Maybe there was no booklet that came with tarot when it first became popular, and with these, I mean, the book that comes with it is awesome.
Book is amazing.
It's amazing.
It even has like worksheet sections,
journaling and stuff, and like little prayers that you can do before it, and like cleansing stuff. It's like, it kind of goes over like the whole foundational base.
Right.
It's like a great introduction sort of book.
Yeah. But you can, if you wanted, you could just look at the card and pull meaning from. I mean, maybe not quite as deep of a meaning as you could get from bringing the book and the cards together, because that's a beautiful, useful tool. But you really can just look at those cards and see, like you're saying with the Hierophant, like, oh, she's got like one side has books and one side has cupcakes. And, you know, like, oh, I can see that she's balancing like all of who she is. And she's, trying, you know, right. You can really see that imagery. It's beautiful. It's such
it's totally great.
It's the perfect deck. I can't complain about it.
And also it's available on Amazon. So if you are somebody who's like really just starting out, go buy that. That's a great place to
start. It's not expensive either. It's not an expensive deck. What is it? Like maybe $25 or something?
Something like that.
It's not expensive at all.
Also, I was noticing that on the Three of Cups that it's three women who are celebrating, but I love it because it's like the maiden, the mother, and the crone celebrating rather than just like three maidens. So it's even more about like finding community with a group. And I just really, really love that. Of all different skill levels, all different interests, like it's just such a powerful deck. So that's the deck that I am the most excited to work with next week.
I agree. That's the deck I'm always most excited to work with. Even though I have two brand new decks sitting right in front of me right now, I'm like, yay, back to Everyday Witch.
It's just so great.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I keep like grabbing it no matter what else is going on.
Yep. Yep. I really don't use my Rider-Waite-Smith deck very much anymore. Maybe for pictures. I use it like if I've been using up other decks a lot and I want something new for people to see, I'll go back to that deck, you know.
Yeah.
But I use Everyday Witch for its all purpose, you know. It gives it gives good readings no matter what.
All right. So again, we're the Holistic Tarot Agency and you can we are. And you can email us at holistictarotagency@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at Holistic Tarot Agency, where we post a card of the day every day.
And you can find us on Facebook in our Facebook group that has no one yet. So please come join our Facebook group and interact with us. We would love
to get attention.
Yeah, we will give you starving, so much feedback.
You will be our favorite, our new favorite.
So come join us on any of the social media stuff and follow us. You can find me on Instagram at Thea the Witch and Gmail the same. So Thea is spelled T-H-E-I-A and then the Witch.
And I'm Holly Enchanted on basically everything, Instagram, H-O-L-L-Y, and then the word enchanted. And you can also email me at hollyenchanted@gmail.com.
And I am Nyx Moon, and you can find me on Instagram at Mother of Prisms. And you can also find my tarot page at Tarot Readings by Nyx on Facebook, or you can email me at tarotbynyx@gmail.com. I almost forgot what my email address was.
But yes, if you have any questions about tarot or questions about your life that can be resolved with tarot, definitely send us an email at holistictarotagency@gmail.com, because we would love to help you find solutions, and we would love to reveal so that you can heal.
That's right. And we're just going to keep talking about ourselves. So please give us something else to talk about.
Yeah, seriously. Although I do promise that the question from Holly today was not this Holly.
No,
it was from another Holly.
It was genuinely from a different Holly.
It genuinely was. H-O-L-L-E-Y.
Yeah, exactly. But it might not be in the future if you don't email us. So
right?
That'd be great.
Email us. We love you.
We love you.
Yes. See you next time.
Next time, bye-bye.